The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I think we have become, in the Western world, emotionally illiterate and I think afraid of emotion. When the reality is if you don't control your emotions, they'll control you.
Even just labeling that emotion, it's the beginning of starting to actually harness it and bring it back under control. We actually get so overwhelmed by the volume of emotion that we can't isolate it. We don't know how we feel. And so we typically turn to things to just numb out and to make it stop.
I'm not trying to fix it. The power is in just listening.
Dear young married couple, what's your family's EQ?
And what is an EQ? We've all heard of IQ, your intelligence quotient, but what's an EQ? So an EQ is your emotional quotient, and it just has to do with your emotional intelligence. So how well do you do understanding and managing your emotions, communicating with others in effective ways, relieving your stress levels, empathizing with others? And why is this all important? We dive into that today with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub of Famous at Home.
So let's introduce who these awesome people are.
So Dr. Josh and Christy Straub are speakers, authors, and marriage and leadership coaches. They lead Famous at Home, which is an organization that helps equip leaders and organizations, churches, military families in family wellness and also emotional intelligence.
So this is a dynamite interview. You're going to learn a lot, and I'm excited to hear from you guys what you learned from this episode.
Yes. And FYI, we have an entire monthly live date night coming on this topic. We're talking about what is your EQ, diving into it in detail. So monthly live date night is coming up April 15th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And we will put the link in the show notes so that you can register and come join us live for that 90-minute date night.
On to the interview.
Welcome, Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, to the podcast. We're so thankful you're with us today.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you, guys. We're so glad to be here.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Oh, well, we originally heard about you guys through somebody who walked up to us at an event and said, hey, have you heard of Famous at Home? You need to have them on your podcast. You guys remind me of each other. And we're like, okay. And then like shortly thereafter, you guys had reached out and we're like, this must be meant
Let's
to
do
be.
It. Yeah.
So we're excited to dive in with you guys today. So you guys have a book coming out called Famous at Home. And in the book, you guys talk about seven decisions that you need to make as a family. And
one of those decisions, a few of those decisions have to do specifically with emotional intelligence. And we've been talking a lot about emotional intelligence and the importance of emotional intelligence in the marriage and the family. So we're going to hone in on those decisions with you guys today.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really a pleasure. So there are seven decisions you make, like Chris mentioned. We want to hone in, of course, like on that part of emotional intelligence, which I think is absolutely necessary that we just kind of forget to do. Mm-hmm. So maybe jump in there, like what is emotional intelligence and why do people need to think a little bit more about this?
Yeah. So emotional intelligence really comes down, I try to simplify it as best as possible to say it really is a self-awareness. It starts with self-awareness and then leads to others' awareness. So in other words, an awareness of what it is that we're feeling and why we're feeling that way. And then that it opens up the door to be able to understand what another person is feeling and why they're feeling that way so that we can use that information to then interact in a way that serves the relationship the best. And I think Jesus really really started this at the very beginning when he says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And so there's this idea that we have to be able to love ourselves. We have to be able to enter into our own world and experience, as John wrote, you know, we love because he first loved us. Amen. Our ability to step into the shoes of another human and show true empathy and love, where we don't make it about us, but that we truly make it about the other person, really stems from our own self-awareness and our ability to feel loved as well. And as therapists, you guys know this is often why we always start with, you know, what was your relationship like with your parents? Because our earthly parents are the foundation for where did we start to experience love? And then ultimately, when we accept Jesus and the Heavenly Father and how we experience God's love for us is really the foundation for that. And so for us, that's really what it is. And then the biblical component of that, because we just genuinely see how, you know, God is, emotions are important throughout the
Bible. Absolutely
everywhere throughout the Bible. And yes. I think we have become in the Western world emotionally illiterate and I think afraid of emotion, or seen as weak or whatever, when the reality is if you don't control your emotions, they'll control you.
Mm, so good. Yeah. What does it mean to be emotionally illiterate?
I think, honestly, there's a lot of, we talk about illiteracy, like, and when we wrote a book called What Am I Feeling? So it's a book for kids, because we realized it really begins in childhood, and it's actually being able to put a name or a label to what it is we're feeling. Just like we teach a kid, you know, this color is red, this is blue, this is green, but to actually put a label or a word to what it is they're feeling. Cause if you think about it, we feel emotions in our bodies. Right. So it's like so much more complicated than blue and red and green. It's, we feel it. It overwhelms us. It floods our brains, and they feel very different from one another. But my experience of fear is going to be different than Josh's experience of fear. Mm-hmm. And yet that deserves a name, and it's called fear. Mm-hmm. And that, even just labeling that emotion, it's the beginning of starting to actually harness it and bring it back under control. And what it really does is calms the brain. And so it's so important for kids to learn it, but so many of us as adults have never learned it.
That's true.
So how, when we then enter into this, you know, marriage relationship, are we supposed to do it? If I can't communicate to you what it is I'm feeling, I don't even know. And we find this again and again and again. And obviously fairly typically we will blame men, and we will say, they can't, they don't have words. They don't know how to describe what they're feeling. They don't even know what they're feeling.
And the truth is out right now.
And we blame them. But honestly, we women are not a lot better.
Yeah.
We actually get so overwhelmed by the volume of emotion that we can't isolate it. We don't know how we feel. And so we typically turn to things to just numb out and to make it stop. So we shop or we drink or we watch stuff or we, you know, scroll on our phones just to cope and to make it stop. And so what we want the message to get out is that feelings, emotion, that's literally the power of God in us. It is the fullness of life that Jesus came for. Like, we need to be able to feel the full range of emotion and be okay when another person does too. And that doesn't mean we have to fix it. That doesn't mean we have to provide a solution or an answer. In fact, it really mostly means just sitting with someone.
And that's the difficult part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because managing, and we can get into that, but like how I manage her overwhelming emotion and how I manage my kids' overwhelming emotion in the moment, right?
On top of you already trying to manage your own overwhelming emotion.
Exactly. Because right? it's usually co-occurring.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Your amygdalas are going off and you're in fight, flight, or freeze. So are they. Like, it doesn't go well. We all know how this goes. Mm-hmm. And so having an emotional language, or what we call like emotional safety within the home, basically just allows us to be with one another in a way that I'm not threatened because you have emotion, but I allow you to have emotion, but with boundaries.
Yes.
You know, I think so often even, you know, people might be listening to this and be like, oh, okay, this is where this goes. And then, you know, the kids are allowed to feel whatever they feel and like they're hanging on the wall. No, that's not emotional safety. Emotional safety has boundaries.
Well, and that's the, like in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, it says patience is better than power and controlling one's emotions than capturing a city. And that's the CSB version. And I think what's so powerful about that is the idea that you can capture a city, but if you can't control your emotions, you're going to lose the city. It's like David with Bathsheba, right? It's when we reach the pinnacle of success and you have all these emotional things, you have access to all these resources. It's so easy to fall because you haven't paid attention to your own inner world. And to Christy's point, like the reason that we have emotional vocabulary, the reason that we're able to, the reason for being able to label emotion and what it is we're feeling is so that we can bring it under control. Because it's when you don't label it that it tends to control you.
Yes.
Yeah. So good.
Excellent.
I love that about David. It's like, man, David, yeah, you gain some things with the sin, but you're also going to lose a lot too, and a lot of heartache. So managing yourself looks a lot like managing, of course, your thoughts, but managing those emotions and knowing what's happening within you in order to regulate. Yeah. So a question that I had ringing around in my head here was how, say that there are people listening going, okay, wow, you know, am I emotionally literate? Is it that, or am I illiterate? How do we know where we fall on this and how to work on it?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. Yeah. In our children's book that Christy mentioned, What Am I Feeling? We have a perforated pull-out feelings chart in the back with little faces on it, you know,
and
so they can hang it in their bedroom or whatever. And so it's just even for them being able, we have nine emotions, just for them to be able to label what it is that they're feeling, pointing to it and labeling it. Mm-hmm. And then in Famous at Home, the book that's getting ready to come out, we have a feelings chart in there, like a big feelings chart that has different feelings under each core emotion for adults to be able to hang on their refrigerator or to be able to have that we can label. Because if I were to ask you right now, give me five uncomfortable emotions you had this week and give me five positive ones, you know, you're going to sit and go, oh, I was happy. I was joyful. I was glad. I was happy. Right? We don't think about all the range of positive emotions. The in-betweens, the contentment, the surprised, you know, the joyful, the glad. There's so many. And then in the negative, it's like, oh, I'm sad. I'm afraid. But what about jealous? What about resentful? What about bitter? What about, disgusted? What about, right? And so we weren't most of us did not grow up in homes where we were taught an emotional vocabulary.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing for me is, this is where journaling comes into play. The beautiful thing that I have been experiencing lately, and I'm 42 years old and I'm just now, I feel like getting this for the first time. It's like when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, where he says, you know, I pray that you know beyond knowledge, the love of God for you. Like there's this gnosso and epignosso.
Okay.
And the idea that you know, you experience the love of God beyond head knowledge.
Yeah.
And our ability to experience that, the place that I've been experiencing that the most is by doing a prayer of examine where I actually sit down with God. So we can talk about this in relation to our spouse, talk about it in relation to our kids and building that emotional vocabulary in the home. But I think it's important because it starts with us as parents.
Yeah.
How do we experience the love of the Father for us?
That's
and
good.
For me, doing a prayer of examine where I examine my day and I look back then maybe even on the Sabbath at the end of the week and I go, what emotions did I feel this week?
Yeah.
And where did I experience God in that emotion? Because what I have been finding is that that's where I see God working or not working in my life, where when I just get busy and I just do what for the last 42 years of my life, where I just run, and we just do what we normally do and you don't stop and reflect, it's hard to identify where is God actually working in my life.
Yes.
And I notice it most when I identify what it is I have felt at the end of the day.
That's awesome. I love that emotional inventory that you take. I love that you also have a chart for adults. It made me think of when we were in in session in person back before the unspeakable. And we had a coffee table that had a magnet on it with all the emotions. It was meant for children. It's got like silly faces and stuff. And so that was for when I was working with kiddos and teens. But what I found is that adults had a similar challenge, just as much of a challenge, identifying their own emotions. And so I found myself referring to the magnet. I was like, well, there's a magnet down there if you'd like to take a look at it and see, you know, which emotion is that most like for you? And they found it so helpful. So I love that you actually have a chart in your upcoming book for adults, because it's not just for kids. We all need to expand our emotional vocabulary.
Yeah, what's fascinating about that, and what kind of one of the biggest things that I talk about as it relates to parenting specifically, is you can, and I found this throughout my doctoral research and throughout everything that I study, it seems to me in the data that the research always comes back to one primary conclusion, and that is that our kids become who we are. In other words, your kids will not outgrow your emotional or spiritual ceiling while they're under your roof. If your ceiling is your children's floor, then we want to be raising our ceiling so that we launch our kids out into the world emotionally and spiritually healthy.
Preach.
And there was one study that I talked to. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, yeah, like for all of us, it's like, so in the book and Famous at Home, we talk a lot about, before we get to the seven decisions, we talk a lot about who are you becoming as an adult, because that's the key. And there was one research study that looked at a guy named Robert Epstein. He did a meta-analysis. He's out of Harvard. Did a meta-analysis where he gathered all this parenting data to come up with the top 10 strategies, the best strategies for getting the outcomes we most desire in our kids. And what he found was that, and then he asked parenting experts about what they thought, that he wanted them to list what they thought the top 10 would be. Okay. And none of the experts got any of them right.
Which was good amazing. Thing I'm not an expert. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like expert, right? Like air quotes. What he found was, out of combining all this research data, seven, by the way, because most people listening are probably going, well, discipline, it's got to be discipline. It's got to be, you know, making sure my kids are in line. That was seventh on the list.
Okay.
That was the seventh most effective. The most effective, I'm going to give the top three, because I think it speaks into where we're heading here. Number one was love and affection, which, as I described earlier, I do not believe that you can truly be, by the way, it was love and affection. It was also the one that parents get right the most. They're the best at.
Okay.
But I don't think that we can show love and affection until we first experience love, right? We love because he first loved us.
That's right.
So it really is it's really honed in on the parent, how well we do love and affection. The second greatest parenting strategy to get the outcomes we most desire in our kids was a parent's ability to manage his or her own stress.
Mm-hmm.
So go back to the amygdala, go back to your kids flying off the handle, your spouse flying off the handle. Like, how are you doing at managing your own stress and your own fear in the midst of your home? Second greatest parenting strategy, a parent's ability to manage his or her own stress. Number three was how you treat your spouse or how you treat a co-parent in a divorce situation.
Boy, so those are interrelated, aren't they?
Totally. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, I argue that of the top three parenting strategies to get the outcomes we most desire in our kids, they have nothing to do with a direct relationship with our kids. They have everything to do with who we're becoming as adults.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so how are we first experiencing? We have to be able to talk about emotion and allow emotional vocabulary to be, we can't be afraid of it.
Right.
We've got to be able to post those charts on the refrigerator, allow our kids to post those posters in their bedrooms. And instead of doing a high or low for the day, do a high emotion, low emotion.
Yes.
At the dinner table. So that your kids can talk about how they felt. Because what we find, this just happened last night with our son. Something happened at school, and he talked specifically about the negative feeling that he had in it, and how he was angry and embarrassed. And he was visibly like not present at dinner last night, visibly not present. After he told us this story, he was smiling, dancing as he's cleaning the table after dinner. And I said to him, I said, buddy, he's nine. I said, do you notice your countenance, how you are now versus when compared to when we started dinner? and just showing him how just talking about that one emotion, we didn't fix it. We didn't try to correct the kid that embarrassed him. We just said, we're really sorry that that happened to you today.
Yep.
And it did something to him. You saw him visibly change. Yeah.
He felt known and understood.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think so often as parents, just listening and even as spouses, as Christy said this earlier, I'm not trying to fix it.
Right.
The power is in just listening.
But I think that's the issue, isn't it? Like, we think we're supposed to fix it. And that's where I think that's why we feel such pressure and weight when someone brings emotion to us. Cause we're like, what do I do with this? Like, yeah. I gotta have like wisdom. I've got to have like solution for them. And I think to take the pressure off for everyone listening, that is not your job. Literally, that's God's job alone. Mm-hmm. Our job is to just like receive people into our presence and attend to them. So if we think about how much we're attending to other things in life, like especially from this generation on the earth, like the attention we put to screens and like we are pulled in so many directions, and even in marriage, in every relationship, in friendship, with our children, we're so distracted. If we could just put away our attention off those things for a little bit and look eye to eye, like eye contact, like eye to eye, right, what is it? Right eye to right eye is where we bond. And attend just to be with them. Mm-hmm. And you're not even in your brain trying to like come up with some really smart, comforting, lovely thing to say at the end. Right. You're just with them.
And yeah, it's your presence. Yes.
And I know that may sound like that's it. Yeah, it is.
It's beautiful.
And if you can do that, you're going to be such a great parent, and you're going to totally be such a great friend and such a great spouse. Like, I can't fix the things that are happening to Josh, but I used to try, and I used to try to make it better.
You still try.
I know. I mean, there are times.
Guilty.
Well, let's just get real. There's times when you really think I have a really good solution. So I want you to know that I have a really great answer to your problem, and I have to learn, and sometimes I usually learn the hard way, that like that was not the right thing to say, and I really, he just needed me to hear him.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is this is one of the just practices of listening, this practice of listening or spending your attention on someone without trying to fix. Mm-hmm. Are there other practices that parents, or even let me step back one step from that, maybe even people that don't have kids that are like, man, kids are going to be coming here into our marriage and changing our life very soon.
Yeah.
What are some other practices that people can work on honing their emotions toward each other so that they can create that rich, rich soil for their kids to grow out of?
We'll be right back to the interview, but first we wanted to share something that we are really excited about.
So, you know, we all have those times where we don't feel super connected to our spouse and we really don't know what conversations to have to get us to that connected place. And then on top of that, we're so busy that we don't prioritize those conversations.
And that's why we created the Monthly Live Date Night.
And Monthly Live Date Night is every month on a Friday night for 90 minutes, 60 minutes. We focus on a topic that you guys pick. And then 30 minutes, we do a Q&A, and it's live where we're all together asking questions and giving answers on topics related to your marriage, your intimacy. And we share tools. We have handouts that we call homework because we want you to be there to listen and to soak in, but we really want you to take action in your marriage too.
So come join us live for the next Monthly Live Date Night. Check the link in the show notes for dates and details.
All right, back to the interview.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, let me go back. Let me rewind just a second because I do want to drop this. For those who are listening who do have kids, one of the things Christy mentioned, John Gottman is a top marital researcher. He also does emotion coaching, and he did research in the area of emotion coaching kids. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he found is that if you get this idea of emotion coaching, things that we're kind of talking about in a lot of ways, even if you get it right just 2 out of 5 times, you're still going to get the outcomes you desire in your kids.
Yes.
And so I just want you to feel like if you're listening to this and you're like, I am an emotional wreck. I feel like I don't have any, you know, listen, you're going to yell, you're going to say things you regret. You're going to mess up because you're human. But the reason that it's only 2 out of 5 times is because of a word called repair. And the research says it is the ultimate of relationships. The Bible calls it forgiveness, and Jesus tells us to practice it a lot. And so when you do mess up, the buffer for that is to apologize to your kids, be specific about your offense, and then ask if you can make it right and how you can make it right. What you do is you model for your kids, number one, that you're not perfect. Number two, that you don't expect them to be perfect. And number three, you model for them how to make it right when they're not, and even model for them how to go to Jesus. Take that to the next level and take it to take your sin to Jesus in front of them and ask for his forgiveness to show your kids like, man, I'm messing up and I need God's forgiveness every day. And, and so if you are a parent, you're feeling that overwhelming pressure, that's the buffer. That's the guilt free. Like, oh, we got this.
Yes.
To go to your question, Adam, I think, you know, one of the things that happened to us early on in our marriage is we were doing good until we had kids. Like that's where, you know, like the marital satisfaction just drops drastically right after you have children. And
every like soon to be parent, just like,
sorry,
no one
prepped us for that. So it was like,
and then everyone's like, but it's really great. And you like, you'll never like, oh my gosh, you know, but like,
yes, you know, 100%. I try to balance that too. Like, just get ready. It's going to be a big change, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a big change.
You'll never sleep again.
And you'll probably feel never like have sex never again,
but, but it's great. And you're really, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Right.
Oh, we give such twisted answers. But yes, true. So we were doing well until our first child.
Colic, acid reflux, which, you know, all the things, wasn't sleeping. We were, she was feeling lost, her identity, because she wasn't working now and, you know, had the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom, but didn't love it, didn't like it, and feeling guilty because of that. And so she's dealing with all this stuff. And I remember coming home one day and I was out working. I was at a coffee shop probably. And I must have been, because she tells the story that I came.
Can I tell it?
You tell
like
it.
I feel like it's this is your story. Here's the true version. So I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing in my kitchen. I was teaching. So Landon is our oldest. He's 9 now. But at the time he was in the high chair and he was learning to eat solid food. So I was wearing, you know, no makeup, hair in a ponytail, big baggy, like sweatpants and like an old college volleyball t-shirt, which was spackled in banana and pureed sweet potato. I remember at the time.
Thank you for painting the visual. We get it.
It's like, let's be real. Okay. So this was my life. Like I saw no people who knew how to tie their shoes during the day. I didn't talk to anyone who could respond to me in words that made sense. And so he comes in sauntering in the house, wafting some like delicious latte smell that, you know, he'd had. He starts talking about all of these like exciting projects that he has going on and people he's met and stuff. And I'm standing there once again, spackled in
banana. You can't see past the spackling.
Yes. And I just started to cry. Like I just started, like I didn't even know what I was feeling. Let's be real.
Yeah.
At that time, I was just lost. And it all came out. I just started weeping. And the words that I said were, why do you never ask me about what's going on in my heart? And I think for the first time, I realized how alone I felt and how lost I was. Like I call it, I really hit what I call the bottom rung of life, where I was overwhelmed. I was anxious. I remember.
Well, you hit the bottom rung after Kennedy was born then. So that moment happened with Landon and then
it was like it escalated. Just kept going down, down the ladder. But yeah. And we had our second a couple years later. And she was worse.
Not even a couple years.
And everyone assured me like, oh, I promise. Like he was really, really tough. Like that is not normal. That is not a normal experience. But you know, the next time, like, it's going to be better. Like you'll have a normal baby in air quotes. You know?
Oh man.
Well, she wasn't, she was worse. And, She would sleep for like 43 to 48 minute increments throughout the night. And I know
you're talking minute increments instead of hours.
That's terrible.
She screamed like you dropped her on the floor. We didn't know what was wrong. We took her to every specialist. So, but what that caused was this, like we were absolutely just functioning. Like it was total survival. Mm-hmm. There was such a rift between the two of us, not because we were even angry with each other. We were just
not sleeping.
Yeah. We were so, we were just trying to get through the day.
Yeah.
Your EQ went down a few notches.
Oh, it really did.
Was there any? Yeah. I don't think that there was.
So what I do is I leave because, that's what you do when your things aren't going well. You just leave your wife at home with the kids and you go to a leadership retreat. And that's what I did. It was already pre-planned. A good friend, we've been privileged to have, John Townsend, Dr. John Townsend has been a mentor and friend of ours for many, many years. Mm. And I remember him during that time, even telling you, he said, Christy, I promise you, if you let Josh come to this, it won't just be 1 week away. It'll pay dividends 10 years from now. Mm. And so I went to that and it was a leadership retreat, but I remember them specifically talking there about top leaders being able to engage both sides of the brain and being able to not just talk about content-based conversation, but mm-hmm. process-based conversation and the power to close deals and do all that as a leader mm-hmm. when you truly relate to the other person, what it is they're feeling, entering their world. And I took a step back from that and said, I've got to go home and do this with my wife before I can do this anywhere else. And so I went home and my one task was, in coaching, I always ask clients at the end, like, what was the most useful thing for you today that you're taking away from today? Mm-hmm. And my most useful tool that I took away from that moment was I told Christy, I said, can we try something? And I said, I want to take at least 15 minutes a day. And I want to ask you about what's on your heart. I want to ask you what was one positive emotion and what was one negative emotion you felt about the day. Mm-hmm. And then for her to do that with me. And that exercise, we called it 15 minutes that changed our marriage. It really became an exercise that we started implementing with coaching clients. And that we just said, when you get married, when you become one flesh, you know, the Bible says to guard your heart for it is the wellspring of life. Mm-hmm. But I believe when we get married, we become one flesh. We have one marital heart that we need to guard. EFT talks about this, emotionally focused couples therapy. Yeah. It's about what's going on in the heart of your spouse. Mm-hmm. It's not what's going on between the two of you. It's what's going on within the two of you. Mm-hmm. And so we just started doing this 15 minutes a day thing. And sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's, 10 minutes. Sometimes it's 15. But the idea is create space each day to be able to just identify one positive and one negative emotion. And there's times it's gone 2 hours. Sure. If Christy had told me, hey, sweetie, can we sit down tonight after the kids are in bed and talk 2 hours about our emotions? I'd be like, yeah, there's a game on, or, you know, I'm really tired today.
I got to go to the lawn again or something.
But I can remember very vividly, I can count on one hand probably the number of times that's happened, but I can remember very vividly those 5 times.
Yeah.
And I can remember the change that happened in our marriage because of those moments. But it's because we created the space for them. And so, Adam, to answer, a very long way of answering your question, like, how can we set this up if we don't have kids? Sit with your spouse and implement 15 minutes a day where you create the space to just say, because otherwise we're talking about the business of the day and what happened and what we got to do tomorrow.
Yep.
Enter into and ask your spouse what's going on in their inner world.
Love that.
That's good.
And in terms of habit formation, I think most of us find ourselves in that habit of like, how'd your day go? Fine. You? Good. And so like if that habit's already there, use that as a springboard for developing a new habit, you know, anchor it with, oh, let's do our 15 minutes. We call it a daily check-in. Yeah. And that's like, okay, let's actually go a bit deeper. Once we find ourselves in the old habit, that's a trigger. Let's go deeper into the, you know, the daily check-in.
That's really good. And it gives men, because when I talk to men and they're like, yeah, my wife just wants to talk about her feelings. And they're like, absolutely lost. Like, I don't even know how to do that. Yeah, I feel angry. You know, like this is a really good example, Josh, that you gave. I think that's very helpful.
Yeah.
To like, you implement this tool and that would get you started in a big way
so good.
Toward starting to understand the emotions of the other.
So this 15, oh yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this too. And it's going to feel clunky. It's going to feel awkward, especially if this is not your normal thing. And so you don't have to sit down and just like look at each other in the eye across the table. Like Christy and I will do this while we're unloading dishwasher or while we're, you know, like there's ways that you can do this to make it feel less clunky. And if you need to like give each, well, first of all, not if you need to, you must do this, give each other tons of grace in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to have a emotions chart in front of you,
do it. Yes.
Be able to identify stuff that's beyond the normal, because I think what it does, that's what builds our vocabulary.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To men, because you work with a lot of men who, this is a thing, right? Where it just stereotypically, they're like, like that's just, I was taught not to do that. And I don't even want to enter in. But what you actually find is that these are the very things that they need to turn on in order to survive, not just at home, but actually out in their work world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Well, turn on and turn their wife on.
100%.
Both. Both. Yes. Okay. So question for you guys, this 15 minute check-in, the 15 minutes that saved your marriage, that changed your marriage. Is that one of the seven decisions in your book?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So decision number three is talk about emotions and allow emotional vocabulary to become part of your home, the atmosphere of your home.
Okay.
Which is decision number two. We talk about the atmosphere of your home and setting the atmosphere of your home. Number four, that's decision number four, is 15 minutes a day with your kids. Or I'm sorry, 15 minutes a day with your spouse is decision number four. Yeah.
Okay. And and is that decision number five, 15 minutes a day with your kids?
20 minutes a day. Yeah. So there's a great researcher out there. His name is Dr. Stanley Greenspan. Came up with this idea called floor time. And we just kind of taken that principle a little bit because he found 20 minutes to be gold for a child's brain. And we're just saying, hey, listen, parents, you can do that by entering your child's world every single day. So you think about, especially when you have multiple kids, how hard it is for your children to get one-on-one time with a parent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the power of that. And so this whole idea is to enter into your child's world and just simply be with them. You put your phone away. Mm-hmm. You put all of the distractions away and you do what they want to do. If they want to play trains, you play trains. If they want to play Polly Pockets, you play Polly Pockets. You know, and it's so hard for us as busy people who we get a dopamine bump from our work, the affirmation we get from adults and that type of thing, to sit down and play a game of chutes and ladders where your opponent has no idea which way is up and which way is down, you know, just doesn't give you the same dopamine bump. And so it is hard. I think it's why we keep our phones nearby as our kids want to play chutes and ladders and do those things, because we don't know how to turn off everything else and truly enter into their space.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's good.
But we've got to learn. This is why it focuses again so much on who we're becoming as adults, because this is a moment for you to enter into your kids' world and do what they want to do with no other distractions, saying yes to your kids. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, there's people, I mean, I don't know, your audience probably isn't up to the, you know, 8 to 10 kids quite yet. But when you have multiple kids, it is hard to go, oh, I can't give every child 20 minutes a day. And that's true. So one of the biggest things we'll talk about is just find the child or you know which child needs your attention the most in this season, and find that child and give them that attention.
Mm. I love that.
That's really good.
You mentioned Christy earlier, a lot earlier in our conversation, about boundaries. Like, you can feel whatever you need to feel and want to feel, and this is a safe space to feel that. But there are boundaries to how we behave. And it reminded me of, you know, our 3 and 4 year olds dialogue. So our 3 year old says, "Oh, I'm angry."
Yesterday.
And our 4 year old says, "Forrest, it's okay to be angry, but you can't hit." Like, yes, this is good. But aside from, you know, that those types of boundaries, like you can be angry, but you can't hit. Are there other practical approaches that you take to the boundary setting around behaviors that are related to the emotions?
Well, you know, and I don't know, are you, again, so that's a great question. And I know you're directing it towards Christy, but it made me think of something that she's been experiencing or has experienced in her life that I'm probably going to throw on you. You may not want to answer. So because you have it to the kids, right? And maybe that's where you're directing the question. But I also think it starts with us as adults too.
Yes.
And the emotion that I want to go with for you is jealousy. Like, I think when people feel jealous towards you, and how that shuts you down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. the boundary that you're learning to set, not of going hiding, but, you know, not going and hiding. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like other yeah. people's emotions in adult relationships, other people's emotions tend to trigger emotions in us.
Yeah.
That then, and we have to learn how to manage those in relationship. Right. I feel like in order to help our kids set boundaries in their relationships. So I don't know. I don't know if that's relevant or not, but
and without and being an emotion,
hijack your answer.
No, without being an emotion manager of other people. Right. Like you'll know, like on those, my own kids will try to emotion manage me. Really. Like, are you okay? You know, like, yes. I'm like, I'm, that's always like my cue to be like, okay, I need to know. Very aware that mom is not okay. And so they're trying to make mom okay. And that's not their job. And so, but like, yes, to that point, like, I think there's so many ways that the emotions of others obviously impact us. Right. So in our home, so if we go back to the kids, even sadness, right? That's an emotion that if you give certain children free rein in that, they will stay in that vein for as long as they can. And that's usually temperament personality wise,
yeah.
but like that we have to, have, you know, the actual conversation of like, it is okay to feel sad,
yes.
angry, even afraid, like talk about kids that deal with anxiety, right? But we have proper boundaries. And here, part of that is the literal truth of God. We have to instill the truth of God into our children so that they know they are not victims, they are conquerors. And that all of these things, even though these things happen to them, and yesterday it was a sucky thing that happened to our son. Like, I want to punch the kid. I won't. That is the boundary. I won't. Your son yeah. is very wise to listen to his older sister. But I think there is a way in which it's for sure the way we put boundaries on our own emotions that our kids will model, right?
Right.
So it does come back to us. It does come back to the way we do. If obviously, like, I mean, and you guys know, it's like they're like to allow kids outlets, emotion is energy and it does have to be processed through the body. So yes. to take the shame away of emotion too for parents, if you have a child that anger is loud for them, that's okay. Just know that particular emotion, they have a higher volume on. That's okay. But they have to have a way to get it out of their physical body. Mm-hmm. So if that's running laps around the house, if that's putting a punching station, if you have pillows, couches, punching bags for some kids in the garage, if that's as an adult, if you need to do that, do that.
Yep.
So that you're not slamming drawers, slamming car door, you know, things that yeah. the kids are seeing and they're like, oh, so I get angry and I can just lash out at whatever's present right now. Mm-hmm. No, I'm angry. I have a place I go. And I intentionally, like, I remember my own counselor, she used to talk about, cause she deals with trauma with people all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And so she said, like, her best tip was she'd go and garden. And I was like, I'm sorry, you garden, like, how does that? And she's like, she said one time her neighbor came over to her and was like, I have never seen someone pull out weeds with such fierceness. She's like, I think of every person who's been wrong, then I like rip out the weeds.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
They're like, you have a perfect garden, there are no weeds.
Yes, like they are violently removed from those things.
Are you an angry person?
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, those are just, and like, there
That's
are so
helpful.
Many ways. This is a whole other yeah. conversation we go into, but
yeah.
there are so many beautiful ways that we can teach our kids and ourselves that if you, and maybe here's the message more so than anything. If we try to numb out that particular emotion or shut it down, it will take hold of us over time.
Yeah.
So if we try, like, I will not be angry anymore, or I will, it will eventually, like, that's going to come out sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that we're allowing this like run of the just free reign emotion. It's that we're allowing our physical bodies that do have these feelings to be processed in a really healthy way
yeah.
so that they don't rule us.
Yeah.
We're good.
I love it.
We're free.
So your boundaries have less to do with what you can't do, although that's implied, but more to do with what you can
do. It's a redirection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes back to boundaries as doors, like Pastor Daniel McKillop a few episodes back, that it's, you know, boundaries, not a wall, but it's a door. It's something that swings both ways. So what do we let in? What can we do with that? Right. I like your examples.
That's so good. And there's so much more conversation here to be had.
Oh my goodness. So much.
But we like to ask all the people that we interview, tell us about some of your resources. Where could people find you? You have an awesome podcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything's famous at home. It's what we're trying to be. I mean, and that's the whole idea. I mean, we already are, right? I mean, your kids go running to you. I mean, it's like you are. So step into that, embrace it. Famousathome.com. The book Famous at Home releases May 3rd, which we're super excited about that. And our Famous at Home podcast. So
awesome. It's all famousathome.com. Can folks find the book on Amazon? Can they pre-order it?
Yeah, absolutely. Pre-order it. Yeah. So,
And since we were talking so much about emotion, I mean, all our kids' books on emotion are on there too. So there's what am I feeling? What do I do with worry? What do I do with anger is coming out this summer.
Nice. Very cool.
What else?
Yeah,
I think those are them.
So if adults need coaching on anger, they could just go buy that book.
Yes.
And learn while teaching your kids.
No, I remember even like with the worry book and even with What Am I Feeling, people would like send in things, you know, and you're like, they have the kids, you know, feelings poster.
On there. Yeah. And they're like, sure.
They use it. And I'm like,
oh, 100%. Yes. Yeah, we do too. It's so good. Yeah.
And we can't, Josh just goes, you can't whisper. You can't hear me.
Oh, that's great. That's,
yeah, unless you have your good mic, right? You could do it right.
I know. Well. They might need to like turn that part up.
Yeah.
So we will link each of those books, the kids' books, Why Do I Worry? What Do I Do When I Worry? What Am I Feeling? Is your Why Am I Angry book available for pre-order yet or no?
Actually, it's a great question.
Okay, we'll link what we can.
It's on Amazon. I saw it there. What do I do with worry and what do I do with anger?
What do I do with?
Well, we will link them in the show notes for people to find.
Yes.
Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. So we're going to ask you guys a question that we ask everybody as we close out each episode. And that is, rewind back to the first couple years of your marriage. You guys have been married 12 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. So rewind back a decade ago and ask yourself this question. What advice do I wish I would have received? And then you'll fill in the blank. Dear young married couple.
It's a great question. Wow. I would say, dear young married couple, don't take your spouse's heart for granted. There is a little boy or a little girl in there that the father loves that you have the privilege of nurturing. Nurture it well.
So good.
That's beautiful.
Beautifully, that's biblically integrated attachment. It's so good.
I was already going.
It's not fair.
That was so good.
I asked you to go first. I don't know. I just thought of it. And let me say this too, while you're still thinking, I'm still trying to do that well.
Yeah.
I still don't do a great job at it. So
me too.
I think that's the thing that I'm really trying to do.
Yes. Yes.
It's the thing right now in my life that I'm trying to do well and better. And so that's the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I would say, dear young married couple, don't stop chasing joy. When all of the distractions come in and you find yourself pulled in all kinds of directions, remember back to what it was that brought you together, and it was joy. You have joy in each other's presence, and don't stop chasing that joy.
So beautiful.
See, that was good.
Profound.
Well,
nope. Oh, so good, both of you. I love it. Aw, you guys are awesome. I feel like if we lived in the same town, we would be
friends, hangout friends.
Hey, yes. Hey, you can move with all the other Californians over here to Nashville.
Everyone's from our neighbor.
He said
you're welcome. So,
I know, right?
Really, your entire state is moving to be our neighbors.
So. We would love to have you.
Aw, this has been fabulous, you guys. Thank you so much. Folks, go pre-order the book. Famous at home. That's what we all want to be, right?
And make those seven decisions.
Amen. You guys rock. Thank you.
Thank you all.
All right, friends. We really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right, see you next week.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.